John went over in the beginning of the visit with Rick at lunch. I got back from Ocala and Gainesville working on that telephone system this Saturday, the 22nd of May, 1971. John went over, beginning of the visit with Nick at lunch this Saturday, the 22nd of May, 1971. John went over, beginning of the visit with Rick Reynolds. This Saturday, 22nd of May, 1971.
Well, how are you?
Yeah, fine.
Oh. Well, things been out here.
Fairly quiet.
I guess warm weather coming in. Right warm.
We haven't had much.
No, it's probably about the really first hot week that's shown up. That'd be fine. Miami has really been a mess. I was down there with spring break, like ashes. Falling down all over the city every day from the fires. The glades.
Oh.
Well, they've had some rain now. It's broken the drought and put the fires out. But it'll take them a while. Probably really put a hole in hunting season, which suits me fine.
You spent all your good time down there?
Over break?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a week over there.
Mm-hmm. You mean you went out of your way to get down to that place?
There's really nothing there to go see except my parents. Yeah. I had a pretty good time there.
Huh? Or do you call it good time?
Well, all my friends are there, you know. People I haven't seen in 6-7 months.
And what happens when you when that happens?
We just get together and have a good time. Sit and talk.
Sit and talk?
Yeah. Somebody's house, sit and talk.
You mean just it's one of those talking programs?
Yeah, that's about all we ever do.
You, now do you talk or you just chatter?
Chatter.
You don't pick
my
up
sister
the
brought home. Oh, she must have brought home 8 different girls from school where she goes out in the Carolinas. And since you don't know everybody, it's, you know, it's just idle chatter pretty much. But it's a lot of fun. Go to somebody's house, stay up all night and talk.
Bunch of girls.
Yeah.
What can they talk about?
Not really much. It's just old college stories that everybody tells that's been to college. You know, just the names change.
Rick, I have never heard any college talk by the people in college or the people who were there 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago that ever worth hearing.
Yeah.
Now, why is it the school talk is so dismal?
Well, I don't know. I would suppose that you don't really do anything in school. Things just happen to you, you know? And the same thing, you know, you put somebody in the dormitory, the same thing happens to everybody. You know, the old stories of everybody being drunk or somebody flooding the hallway or something like that. And you get tired of that after a while. But it's funny. Enjoy that.
Right?
It's pretty funny.
You hear that thing?
Especially when your younger sister went home 8 girls.
That can get to be boring after a while.
If anything would be boring.
She's going to be up there all summer. In fact, she'll be there until next March.
Really?
Yeah, she's trying to get out with a double major, which would be really good. So I'll be graduating in June, and I'm going to start writing nice letters and asking her how it is to still be in school.
See, that's the sort of attitude you get. All institutional salt, see?
Yeah, yeah. Let's see,
wait.
There's some of this
sound
that you did like.
Yes, do I like it? Yeah, I'm very anxious to get out because I feel like I can start studying when I get out, you know, start learning. But I'm always getting harassed by these people asking me what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do.
How many hours you going to work and what you going to make?
Yeah.
What the wages are and the hours.
Yeah.
That's a big thing.
Could
how
not
many
conceive,
cows you got?
conceive of settling down some company and figuring, well, this is going to be for the next 50 years or something. So, let's see what comes up. But all I know right now is I will be in Miami this summer.
Did you know that Luke was an old potato orchard?
You know,
yes. He knows about potatoes that need to be
buried.
He knows how to stand the smell.
Oh, really?
Yeah. My days working in a produce.
Hey, what are you doing over there? Just playing?
No, I'm getting some bread.
Well, I don't know. What are you doing to it?
Just eating a little bit.
Well, I heat it. I hope you had some of that. She gets to doing that hot foot over there, and she doesn't know what she's doing.
Hmm.
I've been all over the county, Marion County and Latcher this morning, so I'm no...
You said somebody had a tape recorder or something you're getting repaired?
Yeah.
Nowhere in Gainesville to do it?
He fixed it last night, yesterday, and I came brought it up here and it wouldn't work.
Hmm.
I mean, that's the way it always does with me, you see. My, I can make anything not work. And, you see, it's not important enough for them, even if I paid them, they couldn't spare the time to come up here and install it.
Yeah.
No matter what I pay them, they still couldn't do it.
Yeah.
If I'd pay them $50 to come up here and just put that tape on the machine, they couldn't do it. You see, they've got to be there and keep the door open.
No more house calls.
At any price.
That's it.
Even if you had all the implements to work with, eh? We went to that, Faye went down there with me yesterday. I had so much to do. And she passed out before she'd been there long, so it was a no great, it wasn't such a good idea. Well, who wouldn't? Just sitting in the car. I was doing all the work. Anyhow, we went to this old cattleman's restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
I don't go to public places anymore. I have no occasion to. And we pulled up there, and I said, "Hey, I'm not going in there. I don't know how to order. I don't know what they've got. I don't know what the system is." And then I kept thinking, well, we'll go down like I used to do. I never ate the rest of it. I always went to the grocery store and got a banana and never went a vanilla wafer.
Mm-hmm.
You know how that is. And I thought, well, can't be foolish. All these people in here serve you and all that food they've got cooked up, a man ought to work something out. So we went out in there on a purpose to crack the system. Just to see what a man did under those circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe you'd rather chatter. You know, they're girls.
Mm.
we went up to the counter, and we got to the wrong side of the counter, because that's where the little girl was operating, you see.
Uh-huh.
She had to have some place to write out her notes and things like that, and leave her cigarette
mm-hmm.
right there in front of me. I saw the reach over there and tamp it out for her. But I didn't. I was just there. We went that long. I ate with that smoke in my nostrils. And I kept thinking, she was just a little schoolgirl.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she's married and had a family, but anyhow, she looked like a little schoolgirl. And when I asked her something, the way she said, "Now, what is it?" I knew her feeling was that she was just helping him out in there. And I couldn't ask too much of her, you see, 116. She wouldn't speak for the institution. When I do up at the CI, you see, I go up there. I got somehow along the line, I got in the attitude that I want to eat cheap. And when I go out, that still possesses me. Up at the CI would be the last place. If you want to eat cheap, you'd want to eat some of that fine food. Because they can cook it better than you can, or at least cheaper. With less trouble, put it down. Modify it one or two ways. They have good vegetables. Well, that's worth a trip up there. Just eat that vegetable. So I said to this little girl, "I'll take some of those vegetables. I guess they're fresh." She says, "What?" I said, "Maybe some of these are fresh." She said, "The collards might be." So I ordered collards, and she asked the lady if she thought the collards were fresh. I never did find out. So it was a useless question. You see, the one didn't deserve an answer. In a place like that, they can't afford to have fresh vegetables.
No. There's only one place in town that sells fresh that I know of.
Morrison?
No, Palace.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a health food restaurant. And they grow everything.
No, this is Ocala.
Oh, this will count.
Yeah.
Now, this doesn't need
me. Well, let me tell you, if you want a good meal and fresh vegetables and everything else, you go up there to the livestock market on days they're open, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and maybe another day.
Mm-hmm.
That's an experience.
Well, it's not experience, it's good food.
Good food,
what
yeah.
do you mean experience?
So, you know...
So we just sat there and worked out the system. We could see what they had. It was a pretty heavy diet. It was plentiful. It was a great big plate, great big piece of meat, and a lot of vegetables and big tea. You know how they do down there.
Mm-hmm.
$1.10. Well, what's a dollar? Nothing anymore, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And what to drink was extra.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the pie was, I'm not sure. So that'd run on up, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Unless you just had a little candy bar that you could eat. Well, anyhow, we worked it out, and Faye knew how the system worked. You go in McDonald's if you want a quick lunch, you see, for get a little 20-cent hamburger, 30-cent hamburger, 40-cent hamburger.
Now you're getting into the price.
Huh?
40 cents is about where it starts.
Oh, really?
20-cent hamburger. I think Crystal's the only one that still does that.
Crystal?
I got a 20-cent hamburger at McDonald's the other day. My dear.
That's hard to believe.
Well.
Anyway.
And I
bet you got 20 cents worth of bun.
Uh-huh.
And shake. And a shake.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
What they call a shake. For 20 cents maybe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Quarter. Well, so you can get something to stay appetite for half a dollar. And you don't have to tip in a place like that.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
No. But whatever you buy, it always tastes the same. Yeah. French fries taste like chocolate shakes.
You wouldn't want to make a habit of it.
Well, it depends on how good your own cooking is, I suppose.
But you see, guys. Yeah. Go ahead. Confuse you, maybe. See, he wouldn't order just a, something she had already on the plate back there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you see, Val didn't want all that.
No.
That's what we get a big kick out of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
We go, like, a friend of mine used to go up to McDonald's. And McDonald's sells the Big Mac. That's the biggest hamburger to make. Well, Burger King sells the Whopper, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these competing chains, so they go to McDonald's and order a Whopper, which just irritates people no end. You know, this is not Burger King. This is McDonald's. Oh, I'm sorry about that. I'll take a Mergenderver. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's no such thing as a Mergenderver. And the people just go out of their minds. They're trying to take your order. I used to do that all the time. I used to go up and order like $1 worth of food and pay them all in pennies. It's really funny. We used to have some really good times at this place. I had a friend of mine. He was a tall, thin boy.
Did he make an E in my class?
It was a mistake.
Tall, thin boy, looked like a scholar, you know. Wore glasses, very straight looking. And he went up to McDonald's one night. And his friend of his name, Alan, with him. He said, Alan, you want to split a Coke with me? I said, okay. And they've been going to the same McDonald's every night for weeks and just giving people all kinds of trouble. You know, just out of fun. He said, Alan, I said, okay. So he says, give me one Coke. Gets a Coke. He takes it and he rips it in half. And he gets half of it to Alan. And the people are just looking at him through the window like, get out of here. What are you doing here? You're ruining our business. Every night, something different.
What's happened to him since that age, guy?
I don't know.
Well, that's the thing about these food establishments.
I don't know how it was in old days. You see, I grew up in it then, and I didn't have to inquire how it worked. But I think now, when you buy from a place, it doesn't like going to Sears. It hardly matters what it is, Sears has it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you may have greater trouble finding it.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's in the catalog, you may find a little trouble in getting it.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's nothing personal about it, if the lady slips up and she doesn't find it or something like that, see, there's nothing personal about it. It's just like Mr. Stafford down there at Ocala. He had a heart attack. And he's 60 years old, and people have just been complaining to him all his life. Well, it gets worse and worse. And I talked to his wife, and she said David was, his son was trying to cook lake on Saturday and Sunday,
mm-hmm.
and he didn't even show up. He didn't want to come to like his daddy. But, now you see, he takes all that personal. He sells RCA, and RCA gets worse and worse. But he feels like he knows it, and he tells people. You know, the last time I went in there, I asked him about an RCA, and he says, you don't want one of them. He says, why don't you try Zenith? That's the truth. Now you see, RCA makes money selling chloroform or something like that. They don't depend on television sets.
I guess it can turn them out that bad.
Well, you know, they all run
varied interests.
Varied interests now. So if the television business is, you know, difficult, you just put the money somewhere.
Hmm. Yeah, I suppose that's,
Why don't you tell him to get, what do you have to drink?
Yeah, give him something.
Huh? A glass of water. Be fine.
How about a glass of milk? No.
Okay.
Huh? It'll
be fine.
Just going to choke. I forgot it.
So you're the only one that chokes. You got to wash it down just like an adolescent. No, there's nothing personal about complaints anymore. If they ever was, you see. Somebody may, you may be taking in, you see, like the Mexican. What was it? A pure Mexican.
Flood?
Flood, yes. Mexican flood. You may be taking in, but it's really not personal. Now, when I came out here, they were all willing to take me. They wanted just to tap the whole place and plant watermelons, you see, because it had been grass a good while, and that'd make good watermelons.
Mm-hmm.
Judge Lamb?
No, thank you.
And they was done that, and not paid me anything for it, to speak of. Nobody would. And they wouldn't give me the inside story of it. I'd have to pay a little for that, see ya. Okay. So this is your last go around?
Yeah, on market time, really.
June.
Paper for whatever it's worth.
I was really tempted to just go up and say, look, why don't you just give me this quarter of the credit?
Sorry. You put in extra time on the other quarters, they just go in one.
Yeah, I'm not doing that much. In the summer in Miami, and after that, I don't know.
I'm going to stay out here and work on my staff for a little while.
I may be acting Gainesville, I don't know. But I want to get out of Gainesville for a little while. Just get away from the university.
Once he's out of Gainesville, I'd be back trying to make some hay when I can.
Well, I wasn't thinking about the hay so much, Fee, as I was Ratliff. See, he hasn't got into Ratliff yet, really. And I hate for him to get away without a little refresher.
That's right.
It's a very interesting quarter, though. Very interesting. Run into a lot of very, varied people, and they're very confusing, but it's so far the result is I decided that I'm just not doing what I think should be done. This is the first time that's taken 23 hours, class hours, and they're working too. It's just astounding. When I realize they're not learning a thing, that it's simply impossible to be doing so. I just study for hours on end. I can't study for 5 minutes. But, I figure out quite a bit from meeting people like that.
And they just breeze through it?
I don't think they breeze through it. They, attack it. They're working very hard. They're the type of people that, that wants a PhD. The trouble is, PhD is going to get them long before they get in.
Yeah,
they're going to just have to spend the rest of their life writing a PhD after their name. They can't ever use just their first name or anything.
Yeah.
They get stuck in the university, I think. That's the only way they could define themselves. I just can't do that.
That's what we used to say, the PhD. By the time they were ready to give you a PhD, by the time you had... just about giving up.
Mm-hmm.
PSC has just about got you.
I found a lot of women want it.
Yeah?
Because I guess they figure it's a man's world. If I get the PhD, then I can compete. I keep saying you're wrong, but I don't listen to you.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the big joys we get when they ask me, what are you doing in your graduation? I don't know. I don't have any idea what I'm going to do. It doesn't upset me. It upsets them that somebody is going to say that, you know, because I think everybody's going to do something. I don't know. It's just really...
Well, now, who is it you run across that you, in particular? I don't care about the names. I mean, just...
What do you mean?
All these people you're talking about.
Oh, not really anyone in particular. It's just two or three girls that I've met that people have, you know, told me that, you know, incredible students, always studying. And I just go, what do you study for? It's not that I'm against studying, just the way they approach it. It just takes all the joy out of it.
And they attack it.
Mm-hmm. Now, like I read a book and maybe come across a passage that's just... beautiful, and I just like put the book down and just sit and enjoy that. Because I don't read that. What are the parallels? What are the artistic devices going on? What can I write my paper on? And I said, what are you reading the book for? I'm enjoying it. It's like, I like these print sales they have at school. I sell these lithographs of great paintings and stuff.
Hey, you better. Is Ms. Mixon
raft? No, I told her when I call her, she expects me to call her a little after 2.
Okay. If I got in.
Yeah, no, I say that you haven't.
Okay. But I like, you know, get some of these prints. Some are very, very enjoyable. Like, I have them on the wall, and people come in and say, oh, that was painted such time, they used such technique and all that. And I think, well, you never even looked at it, did you? They're always defining it and describing it and taking it apart.
You know, I noticed that a long time ago that it seemed like the people who talked about art or painting, it was all the school of art.
Mm-hmm.
And that's abstract. That takes all the experience out of it.
Yeah. I think the most vivid thing I can remember of this nature was in my, we were coming out from Union, there were four of us. And there's a tree that goes out of the Union, you know, over the pond. And I always really feel sorry for that tree, because there's nothing around it but concrete. It's just all concrete. And there's this tree, and they've cut off most of the limbs, and it's about ready to die. But I enjoy looking at this tree, because somehow it has a certain dignity, as if to say, well, you can put all the concrete around me you want, but I'm not going to die, you know. And it's got a few leaves on it, and got a big vine going around it, and it's just a beautiful tree to look at. And I'm just always overwhelmed when I go by. So we're going by one night, and it was a nice moon out and everything, and just a vivid contrast against the sky. I really enjoyed looking at the tree, and I said, would you look at that tree? Just look at that tree. And the other person, the people I'm with responded, one of the people who's in landscape architecture. He said, yeah, it's too bad it'll be dead in about 5 years, because they've cut the root system off. I said, oh, no, that's not what I meant. You know, what they didn't understand. So I just don't know what to do about that. Just keep running into it.
The student protests, you know. They don't know, they want to protest, but they don't know what to protest.
Yeah. Kind of just for the limelight of being in the protest.
Yeah.
But that's one reason I just want to get out and kind of retire from it for a while, because it's just too frustrating to be pushed through work. You don't have time to appreciate it or enjoy it.
Maybe the only trouble is if they come out here and join my staff, I don't pay them, they have to pay me. That's the only trouble. If I could get around that little problem, we might accomplish something.
My had a little workshop at my house.
I don't want a workshop. I just want to have a little private staff. A little follow up, as you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Bring it up to date.
Yeah. Well, I can see them.
No, I haven't found the last one.
Alright, it's all for you.
You going to be teaching this summer?
No, I taught last summer.
That's right. I remember.
Jim said.
That was too much last summer. That's too much. That took me much taught and I don't have a thing to do.
Jim said, what in the world happened to all those posts? I said, well, I thought you hauled them up yonder. He said, I just took 10 and I put them in the ground. He said, there was a whole lot more down here.
What do you mean?
Hey.
And then by close them off.
Well, he was afraid to head. He was looking for something to, he was going to put them up yonder.
Yeah. Well, he got the 20-30, yeah.
He said he thought he saw a bunch of several of them, but I didn't have time to look.
Well, yeah, but I keep using them. See, I use 3 or 4 over here on this
gap. That's right.
Rick hadn't done any of these, these tapes. I can't take them up on the campus, and I can't really play them out here. That has to be just for anybody who never talks. You can't talk about them. I put them out of business. Now, there's some of them, yes, but some of the family tapes, I grab a lot of nice family tapes, but that'd be interesting, but I'm talking about the countryside, like Radcliffe. You see, I've got Radcliffe on these tapes, too, but I can't talk about that.
The few that you've got, that they were made with that understanding that they could be played?
No, not any of them, please. Just the idea of tapes.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's a tape of you, or a tape of me, or a tape of Shug, or Fanny, something like that. And even that, I wouldn't talk about it. That put me out of business. That's the trouble. I can't institutionalize it. There's no way to do it. Like Emily Dickinson, what they call, what the term they use for that is, that she's a private poet.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't publish. I see, my attitude towards this would change just fundamentally if I got recognition for it. And NBC was to send somebody down here. You see, the whole thing would change. And I don't care about NBC.
really doesn't lend itself to that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You need to make it commercial.
Yeah, so it's the Library of Congress that sends all that down there. Now they can come down and talk to me, interview me, and that wouldn't alter me. I mean, that wouldn't change me.
Mm-hmm.
But to talk about the tapes, that would. You've got the somewhere along the line, you see, unless you're just going to burn them up, bury them. Somewhere along the line, you have to have that public function. You have to gear it for the public, you know. And it made me think the writers, the novelists, the creative people. They really, now you see on these tapes, I tape what I please. I mean, I'm not, actually, the stipulation is that I follow them.
Mm.
Don't lead them, you see. Like, I used to say the reason I quit going to Sunday school, they asked me questions, and I know what they want me to say.
Yeah.
Well, you can do the same thing anyway, actually.
Yeah, been doing it for 4 years.
Yeah. It's very easy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Very simple.
Very necessary, too, if you want to get out.
Well, I mean on the part of the instructor.
Mm.
It's very simple to indicate the direction. and that is the...
If you're aware of the public, whatever you're going to do is going to be geared for the public function and not for the art or just whatever you're doing itself. And you're going to direct.
That's right. Carol would paint one little landscape and he'd get recognition for it. You see the pressure on it going on and it's like it on the same manner.
I remember one time reading a column by Sidney Harris, syndicated. He writes, he's kind of a philosophical fan. He's one of the few interesting people to read in the paper because he never writes about the news. You know, just writes about his thoughts. And he said he was talking to a friend of his that had written a book and received good public acclaim, and he's writing another one. He says, I'm really having a lot of trouble. So I've been working on it 6 months and I can't get anything done. And I said, the other one I knocked off in 6 weeks. And then Harris says, well, it's because now you know what they want you to write.
Mm-hmm.
And you're having trouble doing that. And you can't write now. So it's just cutting right in half, I think.
Mm-hmm. Curious, isn't it?
Get it out of here, for instance. Oh.
You see, what you need to say that direction and the method of inquiry that we've been picking up and working on. You see, that's where it falls short. And you can't do that. You can't do that and compete with the other 20 hours to see that they register for. The mind's got to be clear for that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just do that half a day a week.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's the thing about the institution. Which actually was kind of good, but I feel like I'm getting out before it gets me. Every once in a while, I'll take a test on it. And you just read the question, and you just know what to answer to get the grade. You just know. And I just go ahead and answer something
else. I think that's the point, yeah. You see, Emerson, as I understand it, you see, he doesn't, he's not down on society or the institutions. It's just so that you know what's happening to him. But he also does say, you know, that they tire the mind and just waste your time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there, I guess it is a bit of hostility, isn't it?
Sure.
Yeah.
And
that's
very hostile. I'm just almost bitter at the time. And things that go on.
Now, when did you get strong about something?
Not so much about something, it's just, I hate to keep focusing on university because I don't want it to be the big center of my life, you know. It's just 4 years. I like to be big enough to just put it aside when I get out, so. And pick out what I can from it and use it, so I don't want to let it get to me.
You wouldn't do it, follow it, would you?
Hadn't picked up a case.
No, hadn't picked up any cases.
He's been here, you see. That's what happens, you see. The critical superstructure is not there.
It's where you just need to work it over a little bit more.
Yeah. And they need it periodically. Just work it over.
That's right. That's what we tell Suzanne all the time.
Work it over.
Should be general, you know. So.
Yes. This is not going to rain. It's just a, what do they call it? A front that stalls. Did you hear them call it anything?
I hadn't heard the weather. I like to, down the sound.
Okay. How are you saying?
They like to see you get down south a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure you see that part going out. It was really nice about a week or so ago and it hailed. You see that?
It hailed in Gainesville, but it did not here.
I was standing on my front porch and I was studying and tired, and then it started hailing. I was just ready to run out and dance around in it. I was afraid it'd beat me to death. Yeah, it was so nice.
Yeah.
So exciting.
Well, I tell you what, I just got in on you. I've been running around two counties.
You having success?
Yes. You heard it.
Want to get going?
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what. Why don't you get your breath and Rick can go out and bury the rotten potatoes.
Yeah.
And I'll have to get my breath.
And you can get your breath. And then Jim's going to work on Ajax's front feet a little bit. And there's some other things to do later.
Yeah. I might get out some of that spray equipment for
change.
Yeah. You got your tractors going yet? I heard you had some trouble.
Yes, I did. Both of them broke down for the longest time.
Yeah, you said Cookie had quite a bit of work doing hydraulic hose he had trouble with.
Yeah.
I've been playing mechanic too. A friend of mine sells bicycles, so I'm his bicycle mechanic now. What a job that is.
Well, I guess it would be.
Sure, it would be, great.
And see, he's a businessman. Point of view, he doesn't care about the bike. He just wants to sell it. And his girlfriend puts them together. Well, she doesn't do a real good job sometimes. Oh, my, they come back in really sad shape.
They have to assemble them.
Yeah, that's not too big, you know, put on them. Pedals or the seat or something. But these tend to be bicycles, and they take some adjustment when they first come in, you know, get all the cables and everything just right. Well, they don't do that. They just couldn't sell it. And you get some factory defects, and this one girl paid about $100 for one, and it won't work. And I have been working on it, and I can't fix it. And I know I can't now. I think something's just not right from the factory. He doesn't want to buy it back, and I've just been trying everything I can think of to make it work.
That's pretty vibrant, or?
Yeah, well, I'm to the point, I'm not sure if I want to work for him, but, you know, he makes a little money. And he irritates me when he does people like that. So that's being salesman. I'm not salesman. I tell you not to buy the RCA, see? That's kind of a phenomenon, I think, among, I don't know how to say it, mechanically inclined people, you know. Among my friends, I'm always being chided for wanting to take things apart. Being a mechanic. But I won't say I'm a mechanic. Mm-hmm. It's something else. And
but you can see it.
The way you look at things, I suppose. Yeah. I'm more interested in how it works.
I have to be pretty well into the considerable experience in what we're talking about. Now, you see, I don't have any good horse talk. I don't know enough about horses.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't heard any good cattle talk.
You don't know what to say to keep them going, huh?
Not in the horses.
Yeah, to bring them out.
That's right.
I know what you mean. That's it's nice to know enough to keep them going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's more than that. It's to know what they say.
Yeah.
Also. You see, in the cattle, I can tell when they went behind the ears. And I can tell when they misfire.
Mm-hmm.
I know what to do. But I don't hear much cattle talk is any good. I haven't in, I don't know, 7 years. I haven't really been around cattle people.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the trouble. And there's not as much good cattle talk as horse talk. I'm inclined to believe. Horses are just more interesting than cows.
Yeah.
Provoke more talk, they would say. Yeah. Well, there are a lot of things, and I find if the shoe has to pinch me too. If I talk to somebody, it has to matter to me too. I can't project, you see, when it's no skin off my back.
And you should be able to talk about something there that, you know, that you've seen there, the university on in there, if you felt it. Maybe I've been a part of that.
Yeah. What they're talking about, this fella, he got dog fennel all out in his, he's got the beautiful pasture.
Mm.
Beautiful pasture. All you gotta do is just call him.
Yeah.
Put some this way.
No, it's all right.
And, but the dog fennel, too, it's just starting out, it's just sick.
Dog fennel?
Yeah.
Is it a weed or what?
It's a weed, but it keeps coming back.
Mm.
Same stalk, you see, perennial.
Oh.
And it gets bigger and bigger from year to year. It's like broom sage.
Uh-huh.
And you see, he's gonna, with all those beautiful patches, he's gonna. I'll be hard on him. I've stretched 2 minutes now.
Yeah.
Come on.
Come on. Show
you
where
the things
are.
Just
pull that flat down out of the way.
You got
a
shovel?
Yeah, put it
on
the ground. Yeah, maybe that'd be the best way. Yeah, she's been gone since Easter.
Now, this is Saturday, the 22nd of May, 1972-71. Rick Reynolds rode his bike out 2.5 hours. He rode against the wind this Saturday. I got back from Ocala and Gainesville. He was here. He just got here. I guess it was the middle of the afternoon. Maybe a little earlier. Or it was earlier than that. Yes, because he came in and we had a bite and he talked. Except I did most of the talking. This Saturday, the 22nd of May, 1971, Town went over around 8:60 or 70. This Saturday, 22nd of May, 1971, Rick rode his bicycle out, Rick Reynolds.